Welcome to another week of Parsha Insights. We say Parshas Pekudei, Chazak, Chazak, V'nishchazek. Ah, three beautiful, beautiful, powerful words, Chazak, Chazak, V'nishchazek. We were zeicha to learn through Sefer Shemoy, so we say together in the best of health, Chazdei Hashem, Mayrai V'rabois, I don't take anything for granted. Count your blessings. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. Parsha Insights, Parshas Pekudei. In memory of your parents, Rebecca Basterina and Leon Ben Rachel, may their neshama tahiris have a lichtig gan eden. I think I certainly hope that you'll enjoy. We have a few beautiful pshatim. If you take a look, let's start with the beginning of the parsha. You're taking good notes? Okay, I was just looking for a pasuk. I apologize for the delay. Take a look. Let's start with the pasuk. Where Lamed Tes Lamed Beis. I apologize for the delay if the person was waiting. Lamed Tes Lamed Beis. It's interesting because I had the privilege to already record TMT, which is not usually recorded so early in the week, but it was. I hope that you'll listen when it's sent out Friday morning, Bezus Hashem. It is a powerful pshat, and it involves this pasuk. We're about to quote a pasuk. Hopefully, when you listen to TMT Friday morning, it will sound familiar to you, because this pasuk is used in that pshat as well. But I was so excited to record that message for TMT. It's a very, very powerful pshat, as I said, already recorded, but please make sure Friday morning you listen. This pasuk should sound very familiar. The pasuk says, Lamed Tes Lamed Beis. And I want to tell you something interesting, Rabbi. So I hope you looked at it inside. I just told you already a few times that I used this pasuk in having recorded TMT already, and I just read the pasuk as if it was the most natural pasuk to explain. And then when I saw today in preparing for the shiur that the Mefarshim ask a kasha, I started to wonder about myself. How did this not bother me a few days ago when I read the pasuk in the first place? Is the pasuk not backwards? Let's read it together. What does that mean? They finished. All the work was finished. Done. What does the second half of the pasuk say? They did everything that they were supposed to. No, that's the first thing that you say. They did the work. And now that they did the work, Vatecha was finished. Once I saw the question, I almost wondered, how did I read it dozens of times and I wasn't bothered by it even once? But that's the beauty of Pesukim in the Torah. You could read it and then see something, and it just opens your eyes. But I'm looking at the face of all those in the Heichel, and I see that you clearly get the question. It's such an obvious question. What do you mean? Imagine I'm talking to you. They finished everything. It was completed. And they did the work. No. You do the work, and therefore it's completed. The order's backwards. Vatecha kol avaydas mishkan oil mayid, and then vayasu b'nei Yisrael? I think it's a myridika kasha. You don't love the kasha? I think it's a myridika kasha. I hope all those in the Heichel, all the many who are listening live as we're giving the shir, and those who bezus Hashem listen when it's sent out, I hope all appreciate the question. I'd like to give two very different answers to this question. The first answer I'd like to suggest is actually from the great work of Naim Latayra, from the great Reb Zalman Sorotzkin, Zeicher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. In his classic of Naim Latayra, he brings down a marvelous pshat. I'd like to use this for the first of the two explanations. We know there's a concept, mitzvah gereris mitzvah. The idea of mitzvah gereris mitzvah means that generally, when I do one mitzvah, It will bring another good thing. But it's not just that it will bring another good thing. My nature, I become more inclined to want to do good. When a person has positive energy, very often positive energy will bring even more positive energy. Unfortunately, the reverse is also true. We know that if a person has negative energy and they're on a downward slope, sometimes it's very hard to get out of that vicious cycle. Well, let's speak about the positive. When a person has that energy, it could bring more beautiful energy. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah doesn't just mean that one mitzvah brings another mitzvah. That mitzvah that you did gives you the cheshek. You want to do another mitzvah. You have that energy. You're more inclined to do something beautiful. And that's another hesber mitzvah gereres mitzvah. With that, he explains so beautifully, says Rav Zalman Sarutsky, that's exactly what was taking place over here. I think it's such a beautiful explanation. Please realize the profundity. The Pasuk is telling us, Vatecha kol avodas mishkan ayel mayed. They indeed completed the ayel mayed. They completed the mishkan. It was done. It was completed. Now he says so beautifully, when it brings down Vayasu b'nei Yisrael k'chol ha'shatzim Hashem es Moshe kein osu, it's not necessarily referring to the Mishkan. He says so beautifully, because there was such collective effort to build the Mishkan, now they had so much positive energy that went into getting that job done. So now Be'ezras Hashem is going to go ahead and bring more and more and more beautiful things to follow. In other words, the Vateichel Kol Avodas Mishkan is Taka referring to the fact that the Mishkan was now finished. But since the Mishkan was finished and there was so much positive energy, they saw indeed how much they could accomplish with positive energy and working together. Now it enables them, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael k'chol ha'shatzim Hashem es Moshe, now that the momentum was changed, now they have the ability to do so many other things. In other words, the second half of the pasuk may very well be referring not to a reference to the Mishkan being completed. We said that in the first half of the pasuk. It's a reference now to the ability to now accomplish beyond so much more, more positive energy, more fabulous things. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah. When you see success breeds success. When you see what you were able to accomplish by uniting and by doing something with positive energy and the momentum was changed and there was a beautiful upward trend, it now brought about Vayasu b'nei Yisrael k'chol ha'shatzim Hashem es Moshe, which may very well be referring to future endeavors, future projects. They now saw what they could accomplish with positive energy. It gave them the ratzon and the burning desire that they had the ability to do so much more. I think the second pshat that I'd like to share with you, really, the two can be tied together very beautifully. It's a pshat that we've mentioned in the past. It's from the great Shem Mishmuel. It's a classic, classic pshat. But I'd like to show you how the two tie together. If you take a look, the Pasuk says when we approach Har Sinai, actually the Pasuk first says that we left Rephidim. I'm referring to the Pasuk in Parshas Yisrei Perek Yotes. The Pasuk says, Yotes Aleph, Bo Midbar Sinai. We arrived at our destination. I said this pshat a few months ago. You know it. Would you like, my dear son, to share with the Olam? You cannot know how to have that. Would you like to share with the Olam? Why, just because there might be like potentially 100,000 listeners? Bo Midbar Sinai. The next pasuk says, Vayisu Me Rephidim, they left Rephidim, Vayavo Midbar Sinai. There are two things that should bother you. Number one, it says Bo Midbar Sinai twice. But what should bother you much, much more is how in the world could it first say Bo Midbar Sinai, we arrived, and the next pasuk says we started our journey. You can't arrive at your destination before you leave. what in the world does the pasuk mean, Bo Midbar Sinai? And the next pasuk says, Vayisu Me'rafid, and they arrived and then they left? We've said many times a beautiful pshat from the Shemi Shmuel, and I'd like to tie it into this pshat, and you'll see why I think both answers could be said together. If you would think about Klal Yisrael at that point in time, they certainly may have wondered, we just came out of Mitzrayim, the 49th level of impurity, just a moment before a level, the 50th level, the point of no return. In 7 short weeks, we're going to be standing at Mirmid Har Sinai, the greatest event in our history? How in the world could we possibly go from where we are to where we're supposed to be on the drop of a dime? It doesn't seem possible. The Shemi Shmuel tells us so beautifully, there's one way to make that happen. We'll call it in English mental imagery. Mental imagery means where a person closes their eyes and they start to imagine what Kabbalah Satira will be like. All of the pomp and all of the ceremony, everything surrounding Har Sinai, the thunder, the lightning, the angels, the crowns, the Nasa, the Nishma, glory that was unprecedented. Meir Verabais, I imagine for a moment if we would close our eyes and we would start to envision, but I mean really, really close our eyes and envision with mental imagery what it means to have Kabbalah HaTorah, what it means to receive the Torah Moshe is going to give us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only when you in your mind take that journey through mental imagery, you have to be there, you have to be there, you have to believe, you have to believe. You have to believe. Do you believe? Do you see it? Do you feel it? Can you taste it? Now start the journey. And that's what the Shemi Shmuel says. Bo Midbar Sinai, when it says is the first time, it does not mean that they physically and geographically arrived there. Because the next pasuk said they started the journey. And as we said already twice, you can't arrive before you leave. The first time it says Bo Midbar Sinai, it means spiritually, mentally. They conjured up in their image what it was going to look like. Bo Midbar Sinai is that spiritual journey that I told you, close your eyes and take it together with me. Could you imagine such a scene, hundreds of thousands together? Vayichan Shom Yisrael answering, Nasa V'Nishma, what an event. It's beyond anything. Just dream it and dream it and dream it. Bo Midbar Sinai means take the journey in your mind. You took the journey? Now Vayisu Me'rafidim, you're ready to start traveling. Such a marvelous pshat. And by the way, it's true with so many things in our life that we have to believe. Let's take a moment to dream in color and see what could be. And then let's begin the physical journey together. I think that's the second possible answer to the question we opened up. The question we began the shiur with was, it seems to me that it's out of order. So maybe we could say so beautifully, Vateichel kol avodas mishkan oil moed. Perhaps we could also say al pidrush, maybe it doesn't mean that all the work was literally completed. Maybe this was like the Bo Midbar Sinai. Maybe this was the spiritual journey of mental imagery. And I'll tell you really where I'm coming from. Many Mefarshim speak out, how did we know how to build the Mishkan with such precision and such fabulous attention to detail? Certainly the backbreaking labor in Mitzrayim didn't prepare us for that. Certainly all the bricks and mortar in Mitzrayim didn't get us ready to go ahead and build such an extraordinary, exquisite, detailed Mishkan. The Mefarshim speak it out. So many of the Mefarshim explain that's true, but we had a Ratzon, we had a desire, we had such a brand and such a beautiful passion and want to build the Mishkan, that even though it seemed to be out of your reach, how are you going to know how to do it? You don't have the tools, you don't have the capabilities. What do you know about building a Mishkan with precision and such attention to detail? but you want it, you're then granted the siyata d'shmaya for the dream to become a reality. I believe it's the Chofetz Chaim who gives that explanation. Your dream can become a reality and you're granted that extraordinary siyata d'shmaya. You wanted it badly enough. You're given the siyata d'shmaya that you're able to make a mishkan with such attention to detail, such exquisite precision, even though really you did not know about those things beforehand, but you wanted it. You took the journey. Maybe that's the way to read the pasuk. They didn't know, but they wanted it. They didn't have the achilas, but they wanted it. They closed their eyes and they imagined a completed mishkan. Close your eyes together with me. A beautiful mishkan, all of the begotten, all of the kalim, everything. A mishkan that the Shekhinah was going to reside. V'shachanti b'saychom. V'teichel kol avoydas mishkan ayomayim. They envisioned it completed. They dreamed it. They envisioned it completed. Now that you believe that you could do it, v'yasu b'nei yisov v'chol ha-shativ ha-shem, they were taka able to do it. Similar to that explanation of Bohemian Bar Sinai, and then they began their journey, I'd like to humbly suggest that maybe when it says it was completed, it means in their mind's eye, they envisioned what it would be like, a completed Mishkan, the beauty, the grandeur, a place for Hashem's Shekhinah, and now that they believe, Vayasu, they were taka able to do, and they were granted that siyata d'shmaya. So maybe indeed the pasuk is not out of order. Going back to the pshat we opened up with from Rav Zalman Sorotzkin, Rav Zalman Sorotzkin, I actually want to mention, says we said that it works in the negative, that negative energy brings more negative energy. The chet ha'egel was something that began. It sapped us of our energy. It sapped us of our upward momentum. That was the power of the Chet HaEgel. And so Reb Zalman Sorotzkin says, going back to the original answer that we said from him, was that when we went ahead collectively and built the Mishkan, that positive energy reversed the trend. That positive energy of seeing what we could accomplish and seeing what we could do reversed the negative trend of the Chet HaEgel. And therefore, once the momentum was changed and once the trend was reversed, Vayasu, it became easier, as I said earlier, to do what the Ribbono Shel asked, and as I said earlier, to go on and to do more and more and greater, as we said, mitzvah, gereris mitzvah. Maybe really both answers are one and the same, in the sense that a person has to have the belief and think that they can, in order to be granted that siyata d'shmaya, and Be'ezras Hashem collectively will be able to accomplish a great, great deal together. I'd like to actually use the pshat we said from Zalman Sorotzkin and share with you. Someone shared with me this week another pshat from Zalman Sorotzkin. I think it's such a beautiful, beautiful pshat because of how powerful it is and how true it is. And I feel that we can tie this pshat from the Aznayim L'Tayr together with the first pshat. The Pasuk says, Kechume Itchem Truma, which means that everybody should go ahead and Kechume Itchem Truma, everybody should go ahead and collect Truma. Now keep in mind that at the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, who was being spoken to over here? Who is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to over here? What does the opening pasuk of Parshas Vayakel say? Who is he talking to? Kol Adas Yisroel. Vayakel Moshe's Kol Adas B'nei Yisroel. He was speaking to everybody. Now, everybody means the entire Jewish people. He was speaking to everybody. So if you're being told, Tichume Yitchem Truma, go ahead and collect Truma, I don't understand. If every single person is being spoken to, and the command is being given, just imagine every person is being given the command, but who are they supposed to go ahead and collect from? Who are the people that are giving? In other words, if I have a number of people here and I'm giving them an order, Chevra, I want you to go outside to those 500 people out there and collect money from them. Go ahead and take Shuma from them. Okay, I'm telling these five to collect from those 500. But if Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to everybody, Vayakel Moshe's call, Adas B'nai Yisrael, everybody, and everybody is being told, Kechuma Yitzchem Truma, go ahead and collect Truma. Who am I collecting from? Everybody is told, we are the ones who are being told to collect. But from who? Everybody is here. Who are we collecting from? The Azayim L'Taira gives a beautiful answer, but I sought to appreciate the answer. Such a phenomenal mice. I cannot tell you what a gem this story is. The Volozhin Yeshiva needed money. They were financially strapped. So Reb Chaim Brisker went to Minsk to raise the necessary funds. He was put up in the home of one of the wealthy Askanim, who offered to raise the money while Reb Chaim sat and learned. Beautiful. You're going to make Reb Chaim Brisker go collect the money. Reb Chaim Brisker is supporting the Torah. Let Reb Chaim Brisker sit and learn. He said, I'll raise the money while you sit and learn. After about a week or two, Reb Chaim asked the fellow, what's the story? He said, don't worry. Half the money was raised. Reb Chaim was thrilled. He went back to learning. 2 weeks later, now it was a month, and again, Reb Chaim said to the host, what's going on? He said, the whole sum has been raised. Reb Chaim was overjoyed. It was raised in a month. He was able to sit and learn. You're getting down the story? And he returned home. Sometime later, listen to a beautiful maisa. Your parents are thanking you. Sometime later, there was a din Torah that was brought to the Rabbonim of Volozhin by the Gvirim in Minsk. And who were the Gvirim upset at? The host of Reb Chaim. Why? Apparently the true story came out that the host donated the entire sum to the Volozhin Yeshiva that was needed from his own pocket. It's a beautiful thing to see that that's what people are upset about, that they wanted a chelik in the mitzvah. And all of the other wealthy people were upset that they were deprived the opportunity to help out the Volozhin Yeshiva. They were upset at the host. So that was the din Torah. How dare he pay all of it on his own? Now, you're obviously looking at me with the obvious question. Sitting aside the din Torah, what's the question? I'll let you speak even though the video is going. What's the question? No, what? Yeah, what do you mean? Reb Chaim went over to his host when he heard the whole thing, and he said with confusion, he says, if you're the one who gave the entire amount and the whole sum out of your pocket, then what'd you keep me sitting in your house for a month for? This week, 1 week, 2 weeks, a month. If you gave the whole thing, then why did I have to stay by you for a month and sit and learn? The host turned to Reb Chaim and said, Rebbe, you think giving such a big donation is easy? First, I had to work on myself and talk myself into giving half of what was needed. Then I needed another week or two and worked on myself to give the other half of what was needed. And then after a month of working on myself, I was able to go ahead. But you think it's such an easy thing? It's not so easy. I remember hearing another story. I don't remember who it happened with, and I apologize, but it's such a fabulous maisa. It was during the war efforts when the Tzad was going to people, mamish, even on Shabbos, begging for money, pikuach nefesh, I think it was $80 or $100, was able to save the life of a yid. I don't remember which gadol that it was that found himself, I think it was on the Lower East Side, by a dry cleaner, begging the yid for $100, we could save a life, what's taking place in the inferno. And he begged him for the $100. It was either $80 or $100. And he looked at this great Rav and said, I'm giving it, I want to save the life. Then 80, 100 years ago, it was a ton of money. It was a lot of money, $80 or $100. He turned to the Rav and he said, my cash register is over there. It's 20 feet away. If the Rav doesn't mind going to the cash register and taking out the money, it's yours, that amount that you need. So the Rav said, yeah, it's my pleasure. But one question, once you're giving such a magnanimous and generous sum, why don't you go to the cash register and give me the money? Why am I going? So he said, oh, Rebbe, I want to give it. But in the 20 feet from here to there, do you know how many times I'm going to question my decision? Do you know how many times the Yitzhar is going to make me wonder, what am I giving the money for? V'hoser Satan milfaneinu me'achareinu. We need to get rid of Satan before we do a mitzvah. U'me'achareinu, and we need to get rid of Satan after we do the mitzvah, because he makes us have charata, and he makes us regret it. He told the Rav, benkach u'benkach, at least 20 feet. You know how many times I might change my mind? You take the money before I could change my mind. With these two delightful stories, says Reb Zalman Sorotskin, what was the question we asked? If every single person is here and they're told they're the ones doing the collecting, who are they collecting from? What's the answer? Who said it? Kichu me'itchem. Kichu me'itchem. First start collecting from yourselves. First start collecting from yourselves. You have to work on taking money from yourself. You have to make sure, I'm not just going to give the first amount that pops into my head. I'm going to go ahead and do it with nediv lev. I'm going to put my heart into it. I'm going to realize the beauty of giving and not feeling that I was coerced. What a fabulous answer. Before you could taka, go out and start collecting from others, kechume itchem. Start collecting from within. Similar to that journey that we said, Ba'u Midbar Sinai, all the same pshat, collect from within. Collect from within. You have the ability. And now that you do that, then you can go out and taka, go ahead and get from others. But it has to start with you. And for the final pshat, what I really enjoy with all the pshatim is, I believe, is mamish hatzara shava behen, the commonality from all the pshatim. Let's end with a beautiful, beautiful pshat. If you take a look, please look inside. The last words before Perek Mem, the three last words. Moshe saw that the Mishkan was done and completed. Vayivorech Oysa Moshe. And by the way, this Rashi is a Rashi that's mentioned in TMT this week. Not the pshat I'm about to tell you. There I mentioned a different pshat, but we're referencing the same Rashi. What does Rashi say? I think the most beautiful brach. Everybody look in Rashi. Amar lehem, yehi rotzoin, shetishre shechina b'masa yedeichem, that may it be the will that the shechina will rest in the work of your hand. Beautiful. I'm in Pekudei, the last words before Perek Mem. Beautiful bracha. I remember years ago hearing this pshat, and we'll conclude the shir with this. Yehi ratzayim shetishre shechina b'masi adeichem. Normally, when we start a blessing with the formula Yehi ratzayim, we'll say Yehi ratzayim milafnei avinu shebashamayim. Yehi ratzayim milafnei Hashem elokai velokei avosai. Milafnei Hashem elokeinu velokei avoseinu. There's a formula. May it be the will of Hashem. Why are those words missing? Shouldn't it say Yehi Ratzayim Me'avinu Shebashamayim Shetishre Shechina B'masa Yadeichem? Why is the usual verbiage and formula missing? We usually say Yehi Ratzayim, may it be the will of Hashem. Why is that missing? So I once heard such a beautiful answer. Of course, it's the will of Hashem. Of course, it's a reference that the only one who could give you the bracha that you should have the Shechina rest and reside in the work of your hands is Hashem. You know why it doesn't say Hashem's name here? Because perhaps Rashi is teaching us that before it could be Hashem's Ratzayim, it first has to be your Ratzayim. Do you want it? Do you want the Shechina to rest and reside in the work of your hands? Before the Ribbono Shel Olam says it will be my Ratzayim, it first has to be your Ratzayim. Yehi Ratzayim, Rashi is teaching us, is may it be whose will? May it be your will. Your will. Shetishre Shechina B'masa Yedeichem. Now you want it? Then it will be the Ratzon Milafnei Avinu Shebashamayim. But it first has to be your Ratzon, your will, your bread, your passion, your fervent desire that the Shekhinah reside in the work of your hands. Now that it's your will, the next step is Yehi Ratzon Milafnei Avinu Shebashamayim. It becomes the will of Hashem. Once again, the same concept of Kechume Itchem. First look inside and want it badly enough. The Pshat we said earlier of Bo Midbar Sinai, take that journey. The mental imagery. The Pshat that we said, maybe it meant that they finished the Mishkan in their mind. And now that they wanted it, they wanted it, they wanted it, they wanted it, it became a reality. Three incredible words. Let us be zoicha collectively, together, to want it, to want to be able to work together. Let us want the geula shalema, but I mean close our eyes with mental imagery, imagine, believe, and imagine. Let's take the journey. And now that collectively, kechume itchem, yehi ratzon, that it's our will, and we've taken the journey and we believe, now we're taka ready to begin the physical journey towards the gula shalema, b'mheira, b'yameinu, amen. And once again, chazak, v'nischazek.